This hour on the Ideas Network, a candidate forum. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, August the 22nd. And coming up, we will hear in separate half hours from the two men running as libertarians in Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district, Ron Olson III and Kevin Barrett. The 3rd Congressional District covers much of western and southwestern Wisconsin and is currently represented by Democratic Congressman Ron Kind of La Crosse. The winner of the September primary will move on to the November ballot to face Kind and his Republican challenger, Paul Stark of Eau Claire. We will start with Ron Olson of Wisconsin Dells, who is self-employed, a self-employed home builder, and is a Libertarian Party candidate for Congress in the 3rd District. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you have a very colorful resume. It says here, no prior government experience, but lots of jobs, including a boat tour guide, a musician, a bartender, and right now you build log homes?
I do.
Yeah. What in your experience makes you qualified for Congress?
I'm a concerned citizen, and I think that that's all the qualification we really need. I don't think we need to be sending lawyers and businessmen to Washington to solve our problems. I think that just common sense is certainly the most important thing that people need to go to Washington.
And I don't. And
I must correct you. My name is Ben.
I know. I just realized that, and I apologize. I have having problems with my mouth this morning. Ben Olson III. Your dad was a state official though for a while, wasn't he?
My uncle was lieutenant governor for some terms back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. And you have been a Libertarian Party member for a number of years?
Since the 80s.
Yeah. Why?
It just makes sense. The other two parties seem to... it's just a matter of redistributing money, and the Libertarians really believe that that isn't the government's function, that we should kind of have a level playing field for people to work with, and that the government shouldn't be involved in that.
I read that you decided to run for Congress this time around because you didn't think the other Libertarian candidate was really representing the Libertarian Party. Why?
Well, on many counts, that I agree with him on a lot of the personal issues, but personal freedom issues. He has a stand that the government should be running health care for the whole country, and that's just not a libertarian idea. I don't think that the government should be entrusted to that much responsibility and that much ability to tax us. We already have tremendous problems here with a deficit that we have to get a handle on that real soon. Otherwise, it's going to bankrupt our country.
Yeah, he calls himself a new libertarian?
Well, I don't think that there is such a thing as a new libertarian. The libertarian platform is based on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and it was the same when I joined the party as it is right now, and I don't think that that's going to change. We don't base our platform on public opinion polls like the other parties. So I don't think there's room for having ideas that would expand government within the Libertarian Party.
Mm-hmm. And you also think that you're going to be working very hard to come in third place, it says here. So you do not expect to win this this race.
Well, we have to be realistic about these things, and I don't have the time or the money to do this like the other two parties. They have pretty established structures, and I think that it's very important that we give people a choice besides the Democrats and the Republicans, because they're not actively trying to solve the problems. They're kind of stonewalling here, and they really accept the status quo. And I think it's time that people really have to take a hard look at what's going on in our country, and we need other solutions.
Yeah. Well, tell us what's wrong with the status quo and how the 3rd District is being represented now by Ron Kind.
Well, the status quo... we continue to spend money in a deficit manner. According to the government, our debt is $9 trillion. But according to David M. Walker, who is the He was the Comptroller General for the Bush administration, and now he's with the Peterson Foundation. He says that the obligations that we have total $53 trillion, and that's a huge sum of money, and that's not going to go away anytime soon here. The only ways to get rid of that kind of a debt is to have double-digit annual growth for our country for a number of years, and that's really impossible. We grow 2 to 3% a year. We could double our taxes over the next 30 years, and that's not a very viable solution, I think, with most of the public. Or we can cut our spending by 60%. We really have some obligations out there through Social Security and Medicare that as the population ages and there's less and less people to pay into that, we're not going to meet our obligations.
Our guest is Ben Olson. He is a Libertarian candidate for Congress in the 3rd District. Ben Olson is from Wisconsin Dells, a self-employed home builder. We welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Ben Olson faces another Libertarian candidate for Congress in the 3rd. During the September primary, he will face Kevin Barrett. Kevin Barrett will join us after 7:30 this morning, so you can hear from him. The winner of the primary will advance to the general election in November and face the incumbent Democratic candidate, Ron Kind. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, August the 22nd. We are talking with a candidate for Congress in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. He is Ben Olson of Wisconsin Dells. And we have open lines for you to ask your questions. You don't have to live in the 3rd District to find out the views of Ben Olson. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We did get an email from Michael in Milwaukee, who says to both Libertarian candidates, in economics, libertarianism is basically traditional economic conservatism, favoring limited federal spending and debt. The two George Bushes and John McCain have repeatedly called themselves conservatives. Why then do we need a Libertarian Party when we have the Republican Party? Ben?
The Republicans, for years, have said that they're for less government and lower taxes, and once in a while they do drop the tax rate down just a bit. But all in all, what they've done since the Reagan administration is continue to spend money and create a deficit that somebody else has to pay back later. So the Republicans, I think, don't differ too much from the Democrats in how they work with when they get into the government.
Yeah. What are your primary issues, your platform issues?
Well, I think that we have to look at our government and decide what services are essential. You know, we have a Department of Education that doesn't actually educate anyone. All that is done on the state and the local level. We have a Department of Energy that doesn't produce any energy, but it is a drain on our economy. We have to look at all the services of government and what is essential and what people want to pay for, and I think we have to start paring down what our government does. And we have to start looking at how we're going to deal with the Social Security obligation. We have a huge debt that is incurred right there, and I think that we have to look at privatized solutions to Social Security, and we also have to get the government out of medicine rather than more involved in the health care business.
Yeah. What about the social safety net for low-income people or those in hard times? Do we do anything for those people?
Well, you know, change is a scary thing, and regardless of whether the libertarians start to be a presence in politics here, I don't think that we're going to totally do away with the social safety net, although if Americans, who are the most generous people on the face of the earth here, if they were allowed to keep more of their tax dollars, they certainly would contribute to charities that do deal with people who are suffering misfortune, the Salvation Army and different outfits like that are truly concerned about making sure that that people are taken care of. And if the American public had more of their money to donate, they would.
Roger in Lomira joins us. Hi, Roger. You're on the air.
Thanks a lot. You mentioned education. Do you feel that the that you would support a bill or would support the elimination of the No Child Left Behind federal legislation?
Well, you know, I'm not up on that issue as much as I should be. I do know that federal mandates for state education is not a good idea because generally they're unfunded, and it leaves the states and the localities with having to deal with new sets of standards. So I think that education should be moved strictly to the state level, and the states should be able to mandate what they want their local schools to do.
Yeah. What do you think should happen regarding the war in Iraq?
We should bring our troops home.
Yeah, why?
It was an ill-advised war. I'm not sure that we're accomplishing anything, and we still haven't cleaned up our troops from Korea, and that was finished over 50 years ago. And I think that, that there's no end in sight to our problems there in the Middle East, especially if we keep troops there.
Yeah. What are your views regarding the 9/11 attacks and your challenger's beliefs, Kevin Barrett's beliefs, that the American government either was complicit or maybe even involved with those 9/11 attacks?
I would like to believe that my challenger is wrong about that, but I certainly wish him the best of luck on pursuing the truth on that, that really isn't an issue in this campaign at all.
Yeah, that's not why you're running as
no,
a libertarian.
No. I'm running strictly on his stance on the national health care and propping up Social Security, and he also believes that we should eliminate the taxes for the general public and tax the rich, which would work okay for a very short time, and then that would all come unraveled. I think that we probably should look into abolishing the IRS and go with some kind of a goods and service tax on all products and services. And that would eliminate a tremendous amount of power that the IRS has to tax and the burden of compliance, too, is just a tremendous cost to all taxpayers.
Yeah, a lot of people are concerned about energy costs right now. What would you do in Congress when it comes to our dependence on foreign oil and high gas prices and the like? Would you support more domestic drilling or what?
Well, we are having a tremendous resurgence of domestic drilling. I've been out west here a couple of times in the last year, and the whole West is filled with people working on the gas and oil business out there. You can't get a motel room in a lot of small towns out West because they're all filled up with the gas and the oil workers. So I think that we're working on that problem. There's just only so much gas and oil, though, and regardless how much we find here in our country, it does not affect the overall price of what we have to pay at the pump. Part of the problem is there hasn't been a refinery built in this country since 1976, but the federal government has mandated dozens of different types of grades of gasoline for different municipalities and all that. So anytime a refinery goes down, it affects our prices probably more than it should.
An email from Butch in Monroe. What are your views on free trade? And also, what about border control with Mexico?
Okay. Free trade, I think unfettered markets don't lie. It doesn't take very long before they determine the true cost of everything. So I think it's the government manipulation of the basic supply and demand that ultimately causes crises like the current mortgage problem. So I think that the government really should stand back and let the markets work. The border problem, I think that we need to know who's in our country here. And if we didn't have all our troops committed over in the Middle East right now, that we probably could do a better job of securing our borders.
We have a few more minutes with our guest and a line open for you if you want to get a question in to Ben Olson, who is a Libertarian candidate for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Again, coming up after the news, we will welcome in the 2nd Libertarian candidate for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. Ben Olson, what are your thoughts on the war on terror? You said that you wanted to bring the troops home from Iraq. Do we need to be beefing up what's happening in Afghanistan, or what are your thoughts along those lines?
Well, I'm not quite sure I understand the question here. Is you said beefing up in Afghanistan.
Should we be?
I think that we need to be vigilant here at our borders, and what we've done by sending troops over to the Middle East is we've provoked a whole generation of new terrorists that would like to get back at Americans, and if we do our job, they're not going to come to this country and cause any problems, although we will always suffer the problems of those people doing things to Americans in other countries where the security is not so good.
Yeah, so you want to bring home troops from Afghanistan as well as Iraq.
Oh, yes. In fact, I really think that we probably should be closing our bases throughout the world and not be the policemen to the world, because I think that it's kind of ineffective.
Yeah. How can you say that terrorists will not pose any problems here at home since they did it during 9/11?
Have we had a problem here in this country since 9/11?
Well, no, but does that mean that there won't be?
You know, this isn't a perfect world, and no matter how much we think the government can do things for us, there's always a possibility of more things happening. We just have to be vigilant, and that's the one of the jobs of the government, is to preserve our borders and try to head things like that off. But, you know, I don't think that the war on terror as such has changed things, except for allowing our government to spy on American citizens, and that's not a good thing.
A quick one from Joe in Eau Claire. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hi.
Question for you, sir, is what about government subsidies to our farmers?
And I need you to be very brief in your answer because we're out of time.
I don't think that the government should be involved in the farm business. The government, for the most part, puts their farm subsidies into huge corporate farms that don't need any help making money.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show.
Ben Olson III, Libertarian candidate for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. We will hear from Kevin Barrett, who is also running as a Libertarian in the 3rd after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's now 7:36 on this Friday, August the 22nd. Our candidate forum continues. This half hour, we are talking with the Libertarian candidates running for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. We just heard in our first half hour from Ben Olson of Wisconsin Dells, who will be on the ballot for the primary in September. He will be facing Kevin Barrett. The winner will advance to the general election in November, the race to face incumbent Democrat Ron Kind. We now welcome in Kevin Barrett. He is a former UW-Madison instructor. He is currently a radio host, and he is a candidate for Congress on the Libertarian ticket in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. He joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for being here. Now, You are also very well-known, or at least received even national attention, back when you were teaching a course for UW-Madison, and your views on 9/11 came to light, and you are a 9/11 skeptic. Tell us what that means.
Well, I think that when the government tells us that 19 young Muslim men led by a guy on dialysis in a cave in Afghanistan somehow managed to take over four aircraft and successfully guide three of them into their targets, the last successful hit being almost an hour and a half after the whole thing started, with absolutely no air defense response, when prior to this in 2001, we'd had 67 interceptions, and average time is 10 minutes for the air defense to intercept an errant airliner. This story is completely preposterous. So, yeah, I'm beyond skeptical. I think that the government's account of 9/11 is absolutely false.
What do you think happened?
Well, you know, if you look historically, Joy, at American wars since the Mexican War, every single one of them, with the possible exception of Korea, has been launched with some kind of war trigger incident or false flag attack. A fake Mexican attack launched the Mexican War. Somebody blew up the battleship Maine to launch the Spanish-American War, and it sure wasn't the Spanish. We got into World War I thanks to the Lusitania being loaded with passengers and armaments and sent into the path of a U-boat. We got into World War II with an orchestrated plan to draw the Japanese to attack us, and we'd broken the codes, and the president allowed 2,000-plus sailors to be killed in order to turn around 80% anti-war public opinion to get us into the war. We got into Vietnam through a non-existent attack in the Gulf of Tonkin, and we got into Gulf War I through a bogus baby incubator hoax in which the Kuwaiti ambassador's daughter, coached by Hill and Knowlton, a Bush-related public relations firm, convinced Congress that she had witnessed, she was a nurse in a Kuwaiti hospital, and she'd witnessed babies being thrown on the floor to die by Iraqi soldiers, which never happened.
Yeah, you believe, though, that there was explosives placed in the Twin Towers, that this was a planned demolition?
Yes, Joy, absolutely. Building 7 is the most obvious demolition, and NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, just put out their long overdue report yesterday. And they say that ordinary office fires brought this 47-story building straight down into its own footprint at free fall speed. And there are witnesses who actually heard a countdown to demolition on police radio. The witnesses report massive explosions. This NIST story about Building 7 is absolutely preposterous, and no honest person who studies this can disagree with that.
Well, there have been reports like that one. There's been investigative reports from, I remember doing a program with authors of a Popular Mechanics article where they say, no, here, you know, the science says this was not a controlled demolition. The science says no to a lot of the questions that people like you bring up.
Right. Popular Mechanics did their hit piece against the 9/11 truth movement, led by a guy named Michael, Chertoff. He's Benjamin Chertoff. He's a cousin of the Homeland Security czar. And he was brought in along with entire new management at Popular Mechanics right before that hit piece. So that was an orchestrated attack that had absolutely nothing to do with getting to the truth. And anybody who wants to watch Popular Mechanics' explanation get completely dismembered should get a hold of a copy of David Griffin's book, Debunking 9/11 Debunking. And I challenge anyone to read that and read the Popular Mechanics book and see what you think.
So do your beliefs regarding 9/11, are those beliefs behind your running for Congress?
Yes, in part. I'm the peace and truth candidate, Joy. Peace and truth always go together. War and lies always go together. Since people began fighting large-scale wars about 8,000 years ago, young men have been brainwashed into going and killing each other and raping and pillaging and torturing people and being, you know, exposing themselves to suffering and death by lies, by big mythological stories like they hate our freedoms, they attacked us, and so on and so forth. Wars are always launched on lies. Every American war since 1847, as I said, has been launched on lies. So peace and truth go together. If you want peace, you need truth. Ron Kind, the incumbent Democrat, has been lying repeatedly about his reasons for supporting the Iraq war. He's voted for every single war bill, and he says that he's actually voting to give the troops the tools they need to defend themselves. That is outrageous. Is he telling us that when Russ Feingold votes against the war, he's voting to leave the troops in Iraq with no tools to defend themselves? It's ludicrous. Ron Kind needs to be held accountable for his lies as well as for his support of the war. And as the peace and truth candidate, I'm the right person to do that.
Yeah. Ron Kind is voting for funding bills for the war. Is that what you're...
He's voted for every bill for the war. He hasn't voted against the war once. There have been bills to set a timetable to bring our troops home. He votes against them. He voted for the original authorization. He voted to make the Iraq war part of the war on terror with no exit date, which means he voted for the 100 years war that people like Cheney and McCain want us to be stuck in. He's completely pro-war. It's important that people realize that.
Why run as a libertarian?
Well, the Libertarian Party actually stands for something. It's the party of freedom. And the United States of America is not a traditional country. We don't have an ethnic base. We don't have a language base that goes back for 1,000 years like other countries. What we do have is this idea of freedom as enshrined in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. And the Libertarian Party is all about freedom. So I think it's really the only party right now that is in line with the founding ideas of the United States of America.
We heard from your libertarian opponent in our first half hour, and Ben Olson said, good luck with your seeking the truth when it comes to 9/11. However, he says he doesn't think that your views in particular on national health care represent the true libertarian viewpoint. You want like a national health care system, and he says that's really not what the Libertarian Party wants, limited government, and wouldn't want that.
Well, you know, Joy, it isn't really a question of single-payer health care or not. I doubt very much that I'll be casting the deciding vote in favor of single-payer health care, and I doubt very much that Ben Olson will be casting the deciding vote against it. What it's really about, I think, is opening up the Libertarian Party to different perspectives. You know, I think if you look at Libertarian performance in elections, they usually get a couple of percent, and there have been a few exceptions, and those are people who are populists, they're unorthodox, and they're moderates on the left-right spectrum. People like Jesse Ventura, he's a philosophical libertarian, even though he ran as an independent, he won. People like, Ron Paul, of course, is unorthodox as a Republican. It's important to not follow party-line orthodoxy. And by supporting single-payer health care, which works better and costs half as much, I think I'm going to be able to attract a whole new group of people into the Libertarian Party. And I also think that, honestly, Joy, if you look at what everybody else is doing around the world, every advanced industrial country has either national health care or single payer. And on the average, again, it works better and it costs half as much. If Ben can show me a better plan to fix our broken health care system, I'll be happy to look at it.
I'm going to present to you the emailed question that we received from Mike in Milwaukee, which I started that forum in our first half hour with, saying that libertarianism is basically traditional economic conservatism, favoring limited federal spending and debt. The two George Bushes and John McCain have repeatedly called themselves conservatives. Why do we need a Libertarian Party when we have the Republican Party?
Well, that's a great point. You know, Ben Olson isn't very far from being a Republican. And, you know, I hate to say it, but our presidential candidate, Bob Barr, hasn't stepped outside the Republican orthodoxy very far either. I think that we need libertarians to stand up for freedom because our freedom is being raped and pillaged and stolen from us. We've seen the Constitution trashed and burned during this past administration. For instance, even Barack Obama voted for the FISA bill, Joy, which repeals the Fourth Amendment. Fourth Amendment's very clear. No searches and seizures without a warrant describing what's going to be searched and seized and why. Now, this FISA bill burns that and says that from now on, the government can search and seize anything they want from anybody without giving any reason, and this process of can last for months.
We're talking with Kevin Barrett. He's a former UW-Madison instructor. He's the author of the book Truth Jihad, My Epic Struggle Against the 9/11 Big Lie. And he is running for Congress in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. He is a Libertarian candidate for Congress. And we welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll check the weather and then we'll be right back for your calls. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's the Friday Week in Review. We will hear from two guests from different perspectives about the political news of the week coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're holding a candidate forum. These are for you, so you can talk with and find out about the candidates running for office in Wisconsin. Right now, we're focusing on the primary. There is a primary for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. Kevin Barrett, running as a Libertarian candidate, is our guest right now. We heard from his Libertarian challenger, Ben Olson, in our first half hour. The two men will face off in the September 9th primary, and the winner will advance to the general election in November. Ron Kine, the Democratic U.S. Representative incumbent for the 3rd Congressional District. What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Kevin Barrett, what you already talked about how you don't think the war in Iraq is you think that that's a bad war. What do we do? What, bring the troops home immediately? What, how do you get out of Iraq?
I agree with Ben Olson and Ron Paul, who advocate bringing all the troops home from everywhere. Close every one of our more than 750 major military bases around the world. There are thousands of minor ones. Close them, too. These are in more than 130 countries. It has nothing to do with defending our country, Joy. It has everything to do with the Global Domination Project, which is a plan by a group of New York and London-based financiers to take over the world using the American military to do it. We need to end the Global Domination Project, bring all our troops home, and once we do that, there will be absolutely no reason for any terrorists to attack us. Of course, there weren't anyway, by the way, Joy. I'm sure you realize that prior to 9/11, Muslims had a very high opinion of the U.S. In Turkey, the popularity of the U.S. was over 85% before 9/11. It's now under 10%. This notion that Muslims hated our freedoms and wanted to attack us before 9/11 is ridiculous. If indeed there were any terrorists before 9/11, there would be 10,000 times as many now, but there aren't because they know that attacking the U.S. in the U.S. will not achieve their objectives. Just like the Vietnamese, Joy, would never have come over here to blow up buildings thinking that that would somehow get us out of Vietnam. Arabs and Muslims know very well that attacking the U.S. in the U.S. would not get the U.S. out of the Middle East. It would get us deeper in there. So the whole notion that any attack like 9/11 would be actually perpetrated by real, you know, anti-empire Arabs and Muslims is a joke from the get-go.
Yeah, what about the first bombing of the Twin Towers?
The FBI built the bomb, and there is an FBI informant on tape discussing with his FBI handler the fact that the FBI built the bomb.
What about bombs going off in Great Britain and Spain and all over the world?
Well, 7-7, Joy, that's a really interesting one. A guy named Peter Power of Visor Consultants said that the consulting company he worked for had actually been running a terror drill on 7-7, and the bombs went off at exactly the times and locations that they had planned on simulating the bombs in the terror drill. Once again, 7-7 was a false flag attack, and so was the Madrid bombing. They just acquitted a bunch of the patsies in the Madrid bombing and said that it was done by the Spanish intelligence service.
Yeah. Karen in Platteville wonders, and you commented on it briefly, what do you make of Obama's FISA vote?
Oh, I think Obama is a tool of the financiers based in London and New York who are trying to take over the world. Brzezinski is his handler. Brzezinski is Rockefeller's right-hand man. He's the sort of liberal CIA don. And Obama is being run by him. Anybody who votes for Obama is voting to actually increase U.S. troop presence in the Middle East. He wants to add another 100,000 troops, move some of them out of Iraq to other places where they're not wanted. Obama is really not the person to vote for if you want peace. If you want peace, vote for Bob Barr, or better yet, Cynthia McKinney of the Green Party, who is an honest peace candidate.
So how come you don't run as a Green Party candidate?
Because I agree with the Libertarians on a lot more issues than I agree with the Greens.
Yeah. Mike and Krivitz emails, I agree with the Libertarian mistrust of big government. However, I am puzzled by your lack of concern about big business, which is often the money and power behind big government.
Absolutely. You nailed it. That's brilliant, brilliant question. And that's my point. When I talk to libertarians, they say, oh, we're against the government. We want to roll back the government. Well, listen, folks, the real government is not the official government. The real government is the secret private government of big financiers and billionaires and even trillionaires. You know, there are speculations that the world's leading banking families are worth hundreds of trillions. These are the people who really run the planet. And these are the people who buy and pay for public officials. That's the real government, the secret government. And that's the one that we need to roll back first and foremost. Most.
Lenny in Madison joins us. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I agree with a lot of things that that the candidate here is saying. My question, though, is what would if the Libertarians ever did become a viable third party, what would they do about repealing the Patriot Act and FISA? How would they address the inequalities in the economy? And since they don't believe in big government, who's going to be the referee, I mean, in a free enterprise system? And that's one of the misunderstandings about capitalism. Capitalism was never intended to be put into the hands of a select group of people. Government was intended, the United States government was intended to regulate the economic system and be the referee and protect the small guy from the big guy.
All right. I'm sorry, Lenny, we have lots of other callers and very little time right now. We already kind of talked about FISA and the Patriot Act. Maybe talk about government being a referee, especially helping out those who need it in this economy.
I agree completely, Lenny. I think libertarians have blown that. And also, you know, what we really need to be doing if we're going to shut down the worst aspects of big government is, number one, bust up the monopolists, including the financiers, use antitrust enforcement to do it. And number two, we need to shut down most of our military, which is being used to conquer the world, not to defend our borders. More than 50% of discretionary spending is military spending. So if you're a true libertarian, you want to downsize the government. Number one, downsize the secret government of the financiers. And number two, downsize the military to just defend our borders.
Mm-hmm. Next, we go to Dave in Monroe. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to, bring up the fact that, first of all, I agree with the guest on almost all of the points he's raised. However, I think, unfortunately, publicly voicing those opinions marginalizes your position and makes people think you're crazy, to put it bluntly. And I don't believe that, and I think a lot of people don't, but for some reason, there's so many people out there that just believe what the government says, and I think that's scary, but I guess I don't know if there's an answer or if you're just running as a sacrificial lamb. I guess I just wanted to make the comment. But if I lived in the third district, I would definitely vote for you.
I think you'd do. Well, maybe not. No, that's right. That's the second in Monroe. Go ahead.
Well, hey, thanks. I appreciate that. And I have been called crazy by the likes of Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and a few others. But, you know, I'm just kind of having an experiment here. I'm going to run for office and tell the truth and see what happens. I don't know if it's ever been done before. So, you know, if something's never been tried, first person to try it might discover that it works.
Jim from Rothschild writes, the war on drugs has continued for decades with many consequences. How would you deal with that?
I would immediately end drug prohibition. Drug prohibition is just as ridiculous as alcohol prohibition, maybe more ridiculous because alcohol is more dangerous than any of the currently illegal drugs, with the possible exceptions of PCP and methamphetamine.
A caller in our first segment wanted to know how the candidate would deal with border control with Mexico and free trade. How about you?
Well, here's where I differ. Another place where I differ from a lot of orthodox party line knee-jerk libertarians. I think that we need to guard our borders, and I don't believe in NAFTA, CAFTA, and all that kind of carve up the world for the financiers kind of so-called, you know, free trade. That's not free trade. What it is these financiers who are trying to take over the world are, you know, building a NAFTA superhighway to, you know, abolish the dollar, bring in the Amero. They have a whole plan to end our national sovereignty. And this opening up our borders to so-called free trade, exporting all of our real jobs overseas, destroying our manufacturing base, destroying our economy, and then trying to take over the world with our military is an obscene attack on the average American. So I'm against that kind of free trade. Absolutely. I think we need an industrial policy to rebuild our economy from the shambles that it's become.
In our final minute, why do you want people to vote for you for Congress?
Well, if I do well, it will send a message that will, you know, a shot will be heard around the world. If I somehow win, this will be beyond the shot heard around the world. So, you know, if I set a record with 11% or more of the vote, which would be the most any libertarian candidate for Congress has ever received, again, it will be a shot heard around the world. So your vote for me is sending a message in a way that voting for just about anybody else will not.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Well, thank you, Joy. It's been a pleasure.
Kevin Barrett, Libertarian candidate for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District, radio host and author, former instructor at UW-Madison. He faces Ben Olson in the September primary, a Libertarian primary for Congress, and then the winner will advance to the November election.
Can you give the website?
Very quickly.
BarrettForCongress.us.
Thanks again for being with us. Thanks to Cheryl Gasser, Cynthia Schuster, and Michelle Kofel for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.